by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, True Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we are ready to roll this morning on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Wyoming Game and Fish Department, always a part of this show. And Janet, I know that it's very busy in the office over the next couple of weeks because it's the time of year when the season setting information will be spread.
That's right. And it's so busy. We have already missed a couple of our season setting meetings. They happened this last week here in Casper and Glen Rock, but we still have many more coming. And so, you know, I know we've talked a lot in the past about the season setting process and the length of this process and how much we appreciate the public and their input and how much it really does mean to us. And also how much that doesn't mean we're going to do exactly what the public asks for, because we are still, you know, charged with maintaining or managing wildlife, even though it is the public trust. And so we want to make sure that we're communicating out to everyone, you know, come give us your input, hear what we're going to do with that input, and hear what your hunting seasons are going to look like for 2025.
And we brought Brandon in today because, Brandon, you're going to be conducting these meetings all throughout the Casper region. And I know the first couple in the books, but if people are listening this morning or today and think they really want to bring up something in one of these meetings, there's still four more to choose from to go and let their voice be heard.
Right. So the closest one that we still have is in Douglas on March 31st, but Sundance, Newcastle, and Lusk, we have public meetings there. So Lusk will be on the 26th at the fairgrounds, and then Newcastle will be at the Pinnacle Bank Conference, and Sundance will be at the courthouse.
One of the things I want to point out is what we have done every year for many years is these biologists across the state, so this is not just the Casper region, work very hard at putting together a presentation for the public to view online. And so starting March 22nd, so they're up and running now, so they were live by Friday night, you can go online and watch these biologists talk about the changes that they're proposing in hunting areas, whether it's opening date, closing date, numbers of licenses they're going to issue, all of these different things that might be happening across the state. You can find your hunt area, you can watch that video, and then you can go give us formal feedback on the online commenting, or you can give us a call and yell at Brandon that he's not doing it right, or give him some kudos because he hit the nail on the head, you know, whatever it happens to be. But I really want to point out this aspect of this online video that you can go watch. So if you're like me and you don't have time to go to every public meeting and make these comments and sit through these presentations, you can do it right at home from the comfort of your own couch.
But like Janet said, you can submit an online comment. So the online comment goes to me, it goes to the commission. So it's really important if you feel strongly, whether you like something or not, comment on it. And those comments do get read.
And I'll tell you that the lineup and the list is really long. There are always lots of different segments of these meetings because there's a lot to cover. And Brandon, I know we probably don't have to worry much about moose or bighorn sheep in the Casper region, but you know, when we're talking about general regulations and antelope and deer and elk, I mean, it really is a pretty intricate process.
It is, and turkeys too. So one thing that we don't cover in these meetings is like mountain lion and bear harvest, because those are set on 3-year cycles. But we look at deer, elk, antelope, moose, wild turkey every year. And it's quite the process to come together with a really good season proposal.
What really goes into it? I mean, what do you hit the ground running with? Because we talk about this all the time and people probably think, oh gosh, you're saying it again. But it's a year-long process. It's not just, you know, start in January and then get to March. You guys are going all year long.
we really, really are. I mean, from being biologists, we're really watching the weather. Are we having a hard winter? Are we having a drought? Is rainfall above average? Because that really can track population trends. And then we get into the fall where we're doing hunter checks. We're out there talking to hunters like, hey, how does this year compare to last year? What are you seeing out there? And then from there in the winter, we start doing wildlife surveys. Either we're on the ground, in a helicopter, in an airplane, and then we get our harvest statistics back, which that tells us how successful were hunters? What was their satisfaction? What was their days per harvest? And then we take all that information, we compile it, and we make a really good educated decision to move forward with next year.
Are there any things in the regulations or seasons this year that may come to a shock to people?
I'd say that there's two main ones when it pertains to elk within the Casper region. So the first one that we're proposing is in Area 23, which is the rattlesnakes, to do a Type 9 archery hunt there. So only the Type 9s will be able to archery hunt. The Type 1s, 4s, and 6s will not be able to. And we're doing that to reduce pressure during that September archery season to make the elk more available in October, because there's one big private land sanctuary that harvest is really difficult come October 1 because his elk have been pressured so much. And then the second biggest one, perhaps statewide, is Area 7 elk. So we're looking to split that into a Type 1 and a Type 2. There is a Type 2 already, but changing that from a 5-point or less in Converse County to area-wide with 1,000 licenses for any elk. But it's good to pay attention to, because only the Type 2s will be able to archery hunt and not the Type 1s. So the Type 1s get the month of October. The Type 2s get the month of November and the special archery season.
And so on that, you talk about the month of October. So that opening day is not October 15th? Is that
nope,
what you're
that
saying?
That is a big change to October 1.
There you go.
So really, if you hunt in Area 7, if you're an elk hunter at all, you need to attend these meetings and at least get your comments in so that, because this isn't set in stone yet. These meetings, and it goes to the commission to make that final decision.
Right. These meetings are a really important process for us to gather public information. And we've had landowner meetings, heard from them, and our next step is to hear from the public. We really need that public input. And then April 22nd, 23rd, it'll go to the commission for final approval.
So it really is an important part of the research that's done by Game and Fish for you to get in on this. If you can't make it to the meeting, definitely go to wgfd.wild.gov. It is laid out. It is, well-informed, and you can not have any questions after you read through it. I was trying to read through it all, and, that's a lot of information to take in. So I'm sure that you're going to have, some people that are antelope heavy, or they're deer heavy, or they're elk heavy, but you've got that information there.
That is so true. And Drew, some of that thing goes back to what I was talking about with those online presentations. You can go right to the information that you need and that you want. And so they will then highlight any changes in those areas. So if they're not talking about it, there's not a lot of changes. And that can be, a pretty easy way to get through things. And, now's the time to learn about different areas across the state. You can hear, we've talked a lot about, things that have happened over the years through winter and the changes in populations and how, in the western part of the state, as maybe animal populations were declining due to severe winters and we were cutting licenses. Now maybe some of those are creeping back up. And so maybe pressure in new areas is shifting again, right? And so just be out there looking around, seeing some new things, scoping some new areas, and you can watch all of those. And that's the fantastic thing that if you live in Casper, but you hunt in Jackson, you're not going to want to drive to Jackson to attend that meeting. And this is the way that you can watch those. You can get your questions answered. And of course, you can comment online.
So we've talked about that you have until the last meeting at the end of the month in Douglas. How long after the meetings will a comment be able to be submitted?
You have till April 2nd at 5:00, so the end of the business day. So make sure all the comments are in by then.
So you could go to the meeting and then you could go home and really look at the possible change that you're really interested in, and then make that comment as long as it's before April 2nd. So
for sure. And at these public meetings, we'll have comment forms. You can fill out there. We'll get them submitted too, if that's easier, or you could print them off online and mail them here to the office.
And, you know, Drew, one of the things that when you look at how we propose these season changes, it is such a crazy schedule, right? So we're like, oh, you've got 2 days. We have these meetings within 1 week. We go to the commission in mid-April. Things are posted by May 1. And then you have to have your applications in by the end of May. Like, it's just this crazy cycle. But that is because we spend the entire year, again, gathering this information, right? We're doing all of our classifications of animals. We're determining what our models are telling us that the animals are doing out on the landscape after we plug in the numbers that we're seeing. We're incorporating harvest survey information. So we have to wait until everybody sends in their harvest survey. They can do all of this analysis on the comments that we're getting back. These guys have to read all of this information and say, okay, this is what's happening in this area. This is the amount of harvest we're seeing. This is what we're going to do with, you know, hunting numbers to maintain a healthy population this year. So it's all just really crunched in this crazy time frame. And so I know it seems a little out there that we have such a quick turnaround in this month of March and April, but that's because this is when it all comes together.
All you need to do to find these possible changes is go to wgfd.wio.gov to the Get Involved section, and that's where the public meeting overview is, and the season setting information is right there on the website.
Thanks, Drew.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome into the program. It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where you can stop in here anytime and see what's going on, see what the hottest good outdoor items are. And, you know, one of the things that I had a lady the other day, she kind of looked lost when I was in the parking lot, and she was like, can I get my tennis shoes here? And I was like, if they're outdoor shoes, you could get some boots here. But it's not that kind of a sporting goods store.
Yeah, and it's definitely not your ball sport kind of store. It's your outdoors, get out in the wildlife and grab a fishing pole, grab a slingshot, grab firearm, whatever you're going to do, grab a tent, you know, your camping gear. And that happens quite a bit. And so, you know, we definitely, you know, direct people to the right locations that they need to be. But it is still amazing in how many people that have lived in Casper for 5, 10, 20 years that have never stepped foot in the store.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you and I were up on the mountain last week. We got the side by side and kind of went into your cabin. And I was like, you know, there are so many people that live just down the hill that never make the drive up there. And you know, maybe you don't want to go in the wintertime. That's fine. But springtime, summertime, boy, it's good to get outside and feel good about yourself.
Well, you know, how many times you have friends that are coming to Wyoming, they're like, hey, we're going to go do this. And you're like, huh, I've never done that. You know, like me and you talk, you know, I envy you because you got to Wyoming. You're like, I'm going to see it all. And so you've been to Devil's Tower, and, you know, I've driven by Devil's Tower, but I've never been to it. You know, I mean, I've driven by Independence Rock, but I haven't stopped and, you know, looked and read the history on it, or, you know, some of those kind of things. And there's just a lot to do. I mean, Fort Casper right here in town, and like, you know, what is the story behind Fort Casper, all those old cabins and stuff in the fort? And, you know, probably should go through there, or even the interpretive center, I think that's what it's called, the event
trail center.
There's a lot of stuff. And we've had friends that have come to town, and, you know, they've had kids that are interested in some, like, dinosaurs. And so we took them up to Casper College, where they have the mammoth up there. There really is a lot of things to do. The planetarium, never been there, you know?
It is an action-packed area, and that's just just this general area. You know, there's things you want dinosaurs to go up the Thermopolis and the Digs. Right. You know, you want to go and see the movie site out here at Devil's Half Acre. You know,
yeah, I mean, Hell's that's Half
just,
Acre, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's, and then what's there is a Devil's one too. Devil's Gate is down the other way. Yeah, it's okay. Just so many different opportunities around here. And you might as well stop in here because if you aren't with snow and you want to do some hiking, you got to have all the hiking gear.
Well, we were fortunate that we had our snowshoes when we got up to the cabin. We went, you know, we were about, I don't know, a month ago, we were almost able to just drive in there. And, you know, we weren't able to drive in there this time.
No, you know, when I moved here, I bought a pair because I'm like, oh, yeah, this will be fun. I did it once or twice. I was like, I'm never doing this again. But every time I've ever had to do it again, it's because of being in a situation like that. You got to get, you know, 30 feet and you're up to your knees in snow. It's it's rough.
It was good, but I mean, there's a lot of times where, you know, we get a lot of people that are just traveling through, a lot of people that are, you know, flying to Denver that are on their way to Yellowstone or Jackson Hole, and, you know, just things like a inexpensive pair of binoculars, you know, just so you can help yourself out there, or maybe you just need snacks for the road. But there's a lot of things that a lot of things to do for sure.
Well, and you mentioned that when people are going, and usually when they come to fly in like that, they're going to drive and stop at a lot of different places. So if you want to camp, you don't even need to bring your own stuff. You can buy it right here and then, you know, have it through your trip.
Yeah, if you're going to fly in a tent, you know, sometimes the luggage charge is cheaper than or more expensive than you know, the tent itself. So,
and we're getting to the point now where a lot of folks will be out doing things like this, and one of the things that they'll really be doing soon is getting out on the water and doing some fishing. I know that you got your boat all ready to go for the springtime and getting out on the water, and we talked about a lot over the last couple of months getting those tackle boxes ready.
Yeah, you know, and on the boat side of things, you know, a lot of guys are just kind of looking, you know, they're getting their batteries charged up, and they're sitting in the boat dreaming of when they're going to go, and they're thinking about, you know, upgrading some equipment, whether it be the new electronics, and you know, we have the new Garmin forward-facing sonars and bundles, so pretty easy where you can buy the forward-facing sonar transducer along with a 10 or 12-inch screen. We have just the screens themselves. But it's a good time to, you know, it's nice enough to work in the garage, but it's not quite nice enough to get on the water.
So we talk about, you know, like the forward-facing sonar and things like that. Let's give a little more descriptive, because I think there are probably a lot of people that are like, oh, I need some new stuff, but do I need that, or will that help me?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tool that's been definitely running around the walleye circuits, and I mean, it's the bass guys, you know, if you watch any bass fishing shows, you know, you're watching these guys, you know, instead of just working a shoreline and casting, you know, they're working these shorelines with this new technique or new technology with this forward-facing sonar, and they're not even casting until they see a fish, you know, and it's been kind of a game changer. In fact, it's actually kind of been outlawed for some musky tournaments because, you know, the musky, you know, they say it's a fish of 10,000 casts or something like that. Now, you know, you can actually cruise your boat through until you actually find the arc, the big marks, and that's what you're going to target. And then you're only casting directly to those. I don't think it has been so much of a game changer here, but it is definitely interesting. I mean, guys ice fishing, especially like for lakers and that kind of stuff, where they can actually see those fish chasing their lures up and down, and then they can kind of change their presentation based on how the fish are reacting to it. And then, you know, talking to guys that have been using them ice fishing, and we do sell like an ice fishing bundle, which then can be used on a boat. So it's kind of a multi-purpose, multi-use. Yeah. But a lot of guys that I've talked to that have used them over the winter, you know, they'll drill a hole and then they can put this transducer through the ice, and as they look around, they'll be like, okay, there's fish 75 feet this direction, and then they go over there and they'll drill another hole, and they're like, oh, nope, they're 10 foot more to the right, and then we go drill another hole off to the right. So it's really kind of neat, and it does show, Things like structure. So if you're fishing an area and you're like, boy, it's just like a desert here, but all of a sudden you like 50 feet to your left, you see a bunch of trees or a rock pile. You're like, okay, I'm going to go fish on top of that rock pile. It's going to create some structure, and there's generally fish in those areas. You know, it's really a neat concept. Obviously, YouTube's your best friend if you want to watch, you know, any of that. Every different company that sells a fish finder generally has some their own version. Hummingbird, it's called Hummingbird Live. Lowrance is the Lowrance Active Target. And the one that most people talk about that probably is just the top of the notch, like technology, is the Garmin, and it's the Panoptics. And the newest transducer is the LV34. The clarity of it, I mean, it's just, you can see which direction the fish are going. You can, it's pretty incredible.
If you've ever played a fishing video game, it's exactly what you're looking at. I mean, you see the fish move across the screen and you have to cast toward that. Really, it's exactly the same. And, you know, we talk about the Wyoming Walleye Stampede or other tournaments that you may want to fish. If you're not familiar with that area, having one of these pieces of equipment will greatly benefit you, especially if you're not familiar with anything, because that takes a lot of the guessing out of, are there fish here? Because you can actually just put that out and watch.
It is a bit of an investment. You know, I mean, you're looking at, you know, $2,600 to $3,500, depending on screen sizes and stuff. And I will say that, you know, I have the Hummingbird Live on my boat, and I use it a couple times a year. It is interesting to see kind of what fish are doing. It's not the type of fishing that I like to do.
Right.
And I tell people the forward-facing sonar is more of a hunting technique, I guess. You know, you're not just pulling up and just cast. You're looking for a fish and casting to a fish. To me, that kind of takes some of the thrill away from it. I mean, obviously, the learning curve to actually learn how to use these types of electronics, you kind of want to have somebody that's worked behind them before, maybe help you with some settings and see how the fish are reacting, or, you know, how far away, what the direction of the fish are. But it is definitely a good tool. But I would say that in the most of the situations I've seen, it hasn't been game-changing scenarios. And I'm talking like in the tournament world.
Right. So it doesn't give you a great advantage. It just gives you a pretty good advantage that just going to enhance your day of fishing.
Yeah, you know, it first came out with side imaging, right? And the guy's like, oh, it's a game changer. I can see 100 feet off either side, and I can, you know, find structure, and I can see fish. And, you know, I've had that too. I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, it's just not the type of fishing. I like to either pull up along a shoreline and just work down a shoreline and see what happens. But it's really in certain lakes, especially in certain bodies of water, and not so much in Wyoming, but like on the Missouri River system, where these fish are holding off of super long sand points or gravel points. Where, I mean, a guy typically back in the day would just troll that contour out in that deeper water. Now they're just kind of heading out there, and they're just like getting on the front of their boat, looking at their screen, and they're like, fish, nope, no fish here, go to the next one.
Yeah.
So instead of trolling through it, they're actually just going in there and just visually.
Right. So instead of, you know, saving on gas and using your trolling motor, now you're gunning it and going down the river a little more.
Well, they're still having to, you know, use pretty much a bow mount. You know, you can only, this technique really only works under, like, you know, 3 to 4 miles an hour. So, you know, it's not like you're going 60 miles an hour and then hitting the brakes going, there's one.
Wait a minute. You can't do that on the water? What are you?
What are you
talking about? Well, if maybe this fishing season is going to be the year when you want to try something new, come on in and check out all the options that are available right here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Drew, along with Brian, back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Of course, you can always listen to all of our episodes on demand at the radio station's app. And, Brian, we're to that point of the year where we're really crunch time now, just a couple of weeks until the banquet for the North Platte Walleyes Unlimited and all you can eat walleye. Making my mouth water.
I know. That's, you know, it's one of the best dinners you're going to have at any one of these banquets. So if nothing else, come for the all you can eat walleye banquet. But it's April 12th is the date for the walleye banquet. We still have tickets and tables available if you want to do a corporate sponsorship for a table, or if you just want to grab your wife or buddy and head out. Plenty of seats available. Looking like it's going to be a lot of good items. You know, we'll have gun boards and a bunch of raffle items and live auction items, and we'll feed you and we'll get you out of there at a reasonable time. So
yeah, and obviously when you do that, you have the option to, you know, kind of get more involved if you want with the walleye banquet or the North Unlimited Club. And I'll tell you that you can really talk about getting involved in the tournament too, because the Tough Man is just a couple of weeks after.
Yeah, the Tough Man is slated for April 26th, and I talked to a guy this morning that the ice is all off of Alcova, so you know, now's a good time, you know, to mm-hmm. get out there and start targeting some of those critters out there. And then the first Walleye Stampede tournament's May 10th and 11th.
Now, I will say that I heard some behind-the-scenes chatter with Don Day and his weather team that we're not clear of the snow yet. So that may be something to think about.
Well, we always know that we could have snow all the way up until June. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think when we're heading out on the water, we've always talked about being prepared and ready. Yeah. And you know, it's fine. The boats can handle a little snow.
Yeah. 3 feet, maybe not, but a little bit.
Right.
Like Flynn. Some big things happened this week with the outdoors, you know, with them passing some new laws, and one of the ones that it's been really held up in court for a couple of years, and that's the corner crossings. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty pretty big step for outdoorsmen anyway.
I think it's a huge win for outdoorsmen and sportsmen in general. I'd say that, you know, I know it's gone through the courts, but I would have to think that probably the fight's not completely over with some of the landowners, right? And so obviously we want to respect the landowners and, you know, be as respectful as possible, but it definitely will come into play in some of these areas that are so checkerboarded, and you know, it'll definitely provide more access for hunters.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just another good step in the right direction for mm-hmm. a lot of folks. You know, we were talking about some of the proposed restrictions or you know, new things they want to do in game and fish, and that Type 9 hunting license, which is an archery only license. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, that may come into play on something like that too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with any of these regulation changes, proposals, it's good to be informed. Obviously, we give you a little bit of information, but it's always good to just dig into it a little bit deeper. But, you know, even Game and Fish through legislature a couple weeks ago finally got some authority to start regulating guides, fishing guides, which up until now there really hasn't been any guidelines for guides. There is for the big game. You know, they have to mm-hmm. be, you know, CPR certified and go through some training and that type of stuff and have so many hours under their belt before they can be considered or given a guide license. But, you know, there's a lot of fly-by-night guide services, especially on the river, that has been of concern to a lot of people, especially because of the overuse of the river and the damage, I guess, or to the, you know, injuries of fish and that kind of stuff. So Game and Fish did get the authority to start doing that, and they're got an advisory panel that they're working on building and to try to get regulations set up for that. So keep your eyes and ears open, and, you know, watch the Game and Fish websites. And if you want to provide feedback on what you think that should happen or what you'd like to see, you know, don't be afraid to voice your concerns.
Yeah, you know, the commission meetings are still a couple of weeks out. Mid April is when those happen, and on Friday night, all of the proposals are up on the Game and Fish website. So if there's, you know, regulation or something that you're concerned about in any area of the state? If maybe you're looking to hunt on the west side or hunting up north or up south or down south, they've got all of those up now. So you can watch those presentations and kind of make your mind up that way.
Well, and we all know that they kind of always slide, you know, something in under another bill or another, yeah. You know. So, I mean, go in there and dig into it, because a lot of stuff, like maybe you're not a trout fisherman, but maybe you do a little guiding for walleye, so you know, or once in a while, or maybe you like to throw a Panther Martin up on the Miracle Mile, but now it's going to be a single hook regulation. So, you know, something like that. I mean, you want to kind of look into them and just see what they're proposing, and then, you know, dig into it. And if it's, you know, just not something that interests you or not doesn't concern you, then, you know, go through it. But yeah, there was some stuff with this with the trout guide stuff that, you know, definitely caught my eye and my interest. And you know, there's starting to be more guys that are guiding walleye fishermen throughout the different reservoirs in the state, and so that will definitely play a part even for those guys.
Yeah, and so, you know, knowing the info is the important part. It's out there. You just got to find it, and they're not going to baby feed it to you. You know, you got to, if you're concerned about it, you need to study up on it.
Inquiring minds need to know.
That's right. Absolutely need to know. And remember, you need to know that anytime you're heading out to do some fishing, hunting, or you know, just being in the outdoors, to stop here first at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back to the show. You can catch us on demand 24/7 at the radio station's app. Listen to all of our episodes. You'll find out that I love adventures, and sometimes it's tough to find a place to stay on an adventure. If you want a hiking trip or a camping trip or fishing trip, it's sometimes hard to find places to stay. Well, our friend Travis Glasgow, a local artist, does a lot of great work of art. Well, now he's getting into the world of online booking, and he has the new site Cabin Maven to help you find those mountain vacation rentals that you're looking for. And I've been perusing this site for a while, and Travis, I absolutely love it and love the concept.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've spent about 8 months under development, you know, and if I don't know, probably about a year just kind of conceptualizing it. And it's starting to come together. Close to launching it. We're right now. It's just soft launch. So I've got two hosts that are currently on there. The rest are just more examples. They're not legit listings, but I do have two legit listings. One up in Montana, and then one up in Jackson. They posted on there. So right now it's just it's free to post, just to work out any kinks. But yeah, we're close to launching. And when I say we, it's just me. I'm the developer. I'd like to be a we at some point, to have a team around me, but it's all me at this point. The marketing, the development, just talking to people.
The thing that sets Cabin Maven apart from all the other Airbnbs or Travelocity or Orbitz, those types of things, is you're not doing hotels. You're doing like adventure type places.
Yeah, so, you know, like Airbnb, you know, they're a behemoth, and they have a lot of different accommodations. But yeah, this is more of a specialty accommodation, more for, you know, catering to outdoor adventurers, people who want to get out into the woods, remote areas, and they can book an accommodation through Cabin Maven. So, you know, if they're looking to hike, maybe they want to do some mountain biking, maybe they want to do some snowshoeing, somewhere remote, they can jump on the site and then they can book an accommodation, because it's based around activities, outdoor activities, and not so much, you know, where you have the Airbnbs and the Vrbos. It's more of a glamping type of business model. And this is not that. This is more of a rugged type of business model.
Which I think that here in Wyoming and in Montana and Colorado and, well, even South Dakota and Utah, like those are options that people don't know that they have. They just feel that everybody has these and they keep them to themselves and they don't want to share them. But really, with the prices of owning property now, if you can make a little money when you're not there, gosh, that's a perfect way to kind of get supplemental income.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can have a little, you know, a little tent site basically as far as your property, and you could rent it out. You know, maybe you're in or around a state park or in and around a national park, somewhere like that, somewhere up in the mountains, you have a little bit of space, you could absolutely rent it out. And that's what this site is about. It's about the little guy who has, you know, a little bit of space that he wants to rent out and accommodate guest that wants to, you know, that want to get out and experience nature.
Is it tough to put together a site like this? I mean, obviously you've worked the web design and web development for a while now, but to really focus in and get all the corners together and really piece it together, has it been a tough run?
It's been tough. Yeah, there's been a lot of challenges, a lot of development challenges, you know, putting together the database. The database has to interact with the front end to see the listings. And then also there's a dashboard. And, you know, if you're a host and you want to post a listing, you have to sign up, and then you can manage your entire listing through the dashboard. You can basically submit a listing. You can manage your calendar. That's going to change if you're a host. You can basically let people know when you're available, all of the details of the listing. So, you know, we're talking, you know, basically pricing, amenities, this description of the property, all of the actual property details. If you own a cabin, then you can manage all of that. So there's a lot to it. There's also an AI piece, artificial intelligence. So I have that built in too. And really just feeding that with a bunch of, you know, weather-related info, wildlife-related info, just anything outdoor-related. And then also partnering with outdoor recreation partners. You know, that's another challenge to all of this is getting those partnerships, because that can really help the value of the site and really bring more traffic to it.
I know some people may think, oh, well, I want to get my cabin up there and I want $500 a night. Well, I'm sure that that's fine for some cabins, but do you have kind of a guideline that people can follow to be like, okay, this makes sense?
I don't, not really a guideline. It seems like a lot of hosts already have experience in other places. And so they're really just, you know, they're tired of Airbnb, they're tired of the pricing, or they're tired of Vrbo. And so they find Cabin Maven, you know, on a Google search, and they already have an idea of pricing. Yeah, maybe they are priced too high. And that's a great idea, actually. That's a great idea to add to the dashboard of suggestions for pricing and how to create a better listing. So the website, you know, we do offer as many resources as possible. If you're looking at, obviously, national parks, Federal Recreational Lands Pass, there's a link over to that. You can search on, you know, hiking, biking, skiing, snowshoeing, any sort of outdoor related thing. And then great for RVers, van lifers. there's a dump station link map on the website as well. And so really want to target, I think, you know, RV campground owners, and then people who own RVs and, you know, want to travel, basically just want to experience the outdoors that way. But yeah, there's a lot of different resources on here. Just continuing to add to it and just kind of, you know, kind of molding it around that whole business model of outdoor related accommodations.
How many times have you had to go Google different locations or different amenities that maybe you can't find all in one place, but if you can get it all in one place, I mean, that to me is gold. You know, when people go to your site, they can find the listing that they're looking for or an example of it. And then if you throw in those other amenities like mountain bike trails, I know a lot of people that love to travel around the state and do that, but, oh, I can't find a campground where I want to go. But with this site, boy, you'll be able to do it all.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, if you're a host, you log into the dashboard and say, you know, you own a campground. Well, it's specific. You select that you're a campground owner, and it will give you questions based around campground ownership. And so, you know, if you look at, for example, there's a campground listing on here. So it'll show area highlights, and then it shows the RV or campsite details. This particular one, you know, it tells you, is it a pull-through site? Is it a back-end site? It shows the surface type. Is it gravel? Is it concrete? Is it grass? If there's a sewage hookup available, potable water available, picnic table available, is there Wi-Fi available? Are generators allowed? Does the place have electrical hookups? Things like that. So it's very specific. You know, if you own a cabin, the questions that are asked that will be on the marketplace for the guests to see, whether, you know, you're a cabin owner or you're an RV owner or campsite owner.
You know, I feel like this is not only going to help the summertime vacationers, but the anglers and the hunters that are looking for an area to hunt or fish in, you could go right here and find all that information of where it's close and all that too. I think that's just, it's an incredible thing. And you sent me the link a little while ago, and I've just slowly been creeping around and, you know, trying to familiarize myself with the site. And there's a lot of things that I really, really like. And one thing is that, like you had mentioned before, if you want to be a host of something, you'll have your own dashboard. But if I just want to do a rental, do I have to sign up on the site?
No, you can view the site without signing in at all. Yeah, it's fine. So if you become a host, so if you book through the site, then you're a host, and then you can log into the dashboard and you can see your reservations as well. So there's a dashboard for hosts. You can just be a user just to peruse the site without doing anything. You can be a host, and then of course you can manage your listings, and you can be a guest, and you can actually see your reservations and communicate with your host. So there's a communication button in there too on the dashboard where the host and the guest can communicate.
Which I think is a great feature. And, you know, some people may have their listing on multiple avenues, and that really gets pricey. And really, they have to pay for each of those platforms that they're on. But with you, it's just one fee, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you have, you know, 10 bookings a month, for example, and you're getting charged, you know, $30, $40 service fee for each one of those, that's a lot of money. Where this site, you know, maybe it's $50, $70. That's it.
CabinMaven.com. That's where it is. And you said it's just kind of soft opening now, and you're really going to roll it out later on this summer. If people have these listings that they want to maybe start renting out, do you have a basic list of requirements that a lister will have to use or follow?
Yeah, and there's also a link on the dashboard so you can prepare your rental. Doesn't have anything as far as examples, as far as pricing, but it does basically cover everything. So, you know, if you own a cabin, how you should prepare it, you know, suggestions anyway of how it should be ready for your guest. So that's a helpful resource. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, it's not just a place to put your, just having that insight, I think is fantastic. Again, CabinMaven.com. And when do you think that you're going to try to roll this out and kind of get the ball rolling full time?
June 1st is the launch date. That's what I'm shooting for.
People can go check it out now and just kind of get a layout of it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Peruse the site. There's a couple of listings on there you can actually book. And if you're a host, it's free access right now. We're looking for hosts who want to sign up and who want to put their rentals on there, just so if there's any kinks on our end that we need to work out, then we can do that.
That's awesome. Travis, you're a man of many talents, and I really look forward to this. And I think this is going to be something that really, you know, the different rental sites apart from all the others, just because of the convenience of it. I really love it.
I sure hope so. Yeah, I really love the outdoor aspect of it.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.